Hey, before we get started, well, this is the start. Thank you, Lord. Who's ready?
Yeah, I am.
You didn't come for nothing. And you're going to get a lot more than that. Notes, ears, eyes. Here we go. I might need some water at some point, I think. When Kenton was up here during worship, he said something about our worship. He saw a vision of our worship filling up a bowl in heaven, and at some point the bowl was going to tip over, and he used like kind of a motion like this, like our church was going to go on a trajectory like this. When he said that, or actually I think right before he said that, I don't, you know, maybe it was the same time, I heard the Lord say, brace yourself. Brace yourself. And that dovetails with another declaration that the Lord's given me recently. And it's that the rubber is going to hit the road. The rubber is about to hit the road. And when he was talking with me about that, the Lord was so gracious. I was putting the boys down. I was singing to them. I'll often sing to them in the Spirit. And by the way, it's amazing how little kids respond to singing in the Spirit. They feel it. You can have kids that are bent out of shape. You start singing in the Spirit, it's like a Holy Ghost sedative. They just conk right out. So as they're conking out, I've been singing in the Spirit for about 10 minutes, and this probably happened to some of you before, and you actually get basically a prophetic song. And so this lyric came to me. Now, those of you who know me would probably know I'm not writing songs on the side, really. Now, I might someday, but it would be by the Holy Ghost. I've got no history of writing songs. I've never written a song that I performed for a bunch of people or something like that. But I got this lyric, and this lyric was powerful, and here's what it was. It said, the rubber's about to hit the road, and it's going to be such a natural fit when the rubber hits the road that you won't be able to get enough of it when the rubber hits the road. There's no need to be afraid of it when the rubber hits the road. I'm looking forward to it, the rubber hitting the road. Now, what the Lord did there is the Holy Spirit was tricking me. Not tricking me, but he was leading me into a revelation, into a declaration that he wanted me to be declaring. See, God's been speaking to me. Remember a few weeks ago, Joshua got up here and said, we should be going for it. We asked the Lord, how long, how long, how long? And Joshua is saying, the Lord's turning that question on its head and asking you, how long? And I got up here and said, a few months ago, the Lord spoke to me, Peter, asking me if this is me and you don't want to do anything apart from me and all that, that's not the issue. The issue is you're not stepping in. You're waiting for me to step up before you step out. He said, the essence of it was, I've already stepped out. I'm ready for you to step out, Peter. That question that Joshua said, how long? It's for us to answer. How long till we step up? And God's been speaking to me about God wants you to succeed. He wants me to succeed. It's on the door of my office. God wants you to succeed. And so now that then the Lord starts speaking to me about the rubber's going to hit the road. The rubber's going to hit the road. And you don't need to be afraid of it. It's going to be such a natural fit when the rubber hits the road. And then today Kenton's talking about it's going to pour over and we're going to just catapult up as a church. And the Lord, I hear the Lord say, brace yourself. Why? Because the rubber is going to hit the road. We're ready. We're ready. We should be excited for the rubber to hit the road. So, it's interesting that I'm starting with that for this reason. My message today is on declarations. I've been preaching a series on the process of faith. I started in November. I preached another one in December, another one in January. Now I'm preaching here. I guess it's March now, February short. Oh, good. And so this message is going to be on declarations. And my first message of the series, who can remember some of the topics I've talked about in the Process of Faith series? Just shout them out. Patience. That was the second message. Yep. Mixing patience with your faith. Testimonies was the last one, right? Testimonies maintain momentum. We have breakthroughs in the Spirit, and the enemy resists that momentum. He wants to oppose the momentum with the friction of life or traumatic experiences. And when that happens, you need to break out your testimonies to maintain the momentum and grease the skids of your faith walk. Okay, what was another topic? It's the first one. It's real basic, but I think powerful. The first one, I said, his promises plus our position in him equals faith naturally. Often we turn faith into a work. But 1 John 4:18 says this, perfect love casts out fear. Okay, let's turn it on its head. Fear is faith in the wrong direction. Another way to say 1 John 4:18 would be perfect love releases faith. Perfect love releases faith. You guys with me so far? Faith is a tag along to love. Often we try to stir up faith, not realizing what we need to stir up is his love. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I think that's Romans 10:18. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, part of the word of God is his promises, but part of it is your identity in him. Both. You hear both. Often we think, oh yeah, I just need to hear his promises more. Yes, but we also need to hear our identity more. Okay, that's a quick review. Now, Andy preached last weekend, and he talked about hope or expectation, what to expect when you're expecting on multiple levels. Such good news. Now, he taught on hope and expectation. He had told me ahead of time, he's like, he knew I was preaching this week. He said, I hope I'm not stealing your sermon. And he's not. He actually set the stage for it, which is brilliant. I'd been thinking I needed to do something with hope in this series because it's so important. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is assurance of things hoped for. So you can't very well have faith if you don't have something hoped for. So hope is an essential component of the faith process. So Andy talked on hope, and one of the things I love that he said last week is he called hope an eager expectation. Now, why did he do that? Because the biblical word hope means eager expectation. Andrew Womack even says that hope means a positive imagination. Isn't that powerful? An eager expectation. And I like that Andy used the word expectation to teach on hope. Here's why. In our culture, we hear hope and we think a wishful wishing. But that's wishy-washy. That's not biblical hope. Biblical hope is, I've got a picture of it in my heart. I'm going to see it come to pass. You might say, then where does faith differentiate from hope? Well, they kind of like go together. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is when you get to the point that you're going to speak it according to the promises of God. But the hope is what gets you out of your chair, so to speak. The hope is what rises up on the inside of you. Okay, so that's hope. Now, I have today, building on Andy's message, like I said, he set the stage perfectly, I have a world premiere of a fabulous new measuring device. This is a product that I've come up with. I had a visual for it, I believe, from the Lord. Now, its marketing name is a hopometer. I was thinking Hope Master 2000. It sounded too much like a treadmill. For the more scientific markets, I might market it as a hopometer. They might not go for the hopometer, but for this case, we'll call it a hopometer. Let me show you how it works. Brace yourself for my graphic design, Derek. Okay, for those listening at home, which is many today with the snow, you've got a man on the left side of the screen here with a passive megaphone, I'd call it, not one, you know, with a battery, but just a megaphone, and he's speaking out of the megaphone, obviously in a, you know, an intentional sort of way, and his words are hitting a microphone. Microphone has a line from it that goes to the hope-o-meter. Currently, it's showing that this person's hope level is in the green. It's high hopes. Okay, now, the question is, how does it work? And I can't exactly tell you how it works. I mean, this is being recorded. It is a proprietary algorithm about what's going on in the... I'll spare you. Okay. It's measuring hope by measuring declarations. The hopometer, or hopometer, is measuring hope by measuring the declarations that a person is speaking. Now, this is powerful. Remember, the whole context of my Process of Faith series is that a lot of times kingdom concepts exist in something of a black box for us. Isn't that so true? We hear about faith, we read faith, gloss over to the Bible. Yeah, that sounds like a good biblical phrase. Something, 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 faith. Something, 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 hope. Something, 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 love. We read about giving. We gloss over it. Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. The question is, do you know how to operate in it? You'll know you know how to operate in something. When it doesn't go right, you know what went wrong. You can fix it. Way back, I talked about my pitching coach who taught me how to pitch, and I learned over time that if I about hit a right-handed batter in the head with the ball, my left shoulder had flown open and my arm had lagged behind. It was a timing issue. Now, before you know that, you think it's an aiming issue. It's not an aiming issue. It's a timing issue. Keep your shoulder closed and speed up your arm. Next pitch would be straight down the middle because I had understanding. Understanding always allows you to learn more from experiences. What's that? Exactly. Understanding allows you to learn more from experiences. Now, this is powerful in creating understanding. Look at this. What is this telling you? Has anybody else in here come up with a device or a measurement of hope? You see bumper stickers after the last election, got hope? Question mark. How do you answer? Oh yeah, I know I got hope. But what's the metric for it? How would you know what your hope level is? And I'm telling you today, you can know what your hope level is. You can measure this no different than the Celsius degrees outside, especially with this proprietary algorithm. It's dynamite. Measure your declarations. If you want to know your level of hope, if you want to know your level of expectation, measure your declarations. You will know your expectations, your eager expectations, your hope, by your declarations. Now, I just want to give you some scriptures to back up why I'm making these connections, okay? So here's the first one. Luke 6:45. Jesus says, now this is where you guys just don't have it as good today. I'm using the PowerPoint on my computer, but that means my awesome team back there can't just pull up all these scriptures as I go through them. Actually, hey, do you guys, this next little section, Jay, why don't you, can I kick myself off for a second? I don't have another slide for a minute. You ready to rock? Luke 6:45, Jesus said, out of the overflow or the abundance of the what? The heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow or the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, this is a really important principle. If any of you have ever had a kind of a wayward employee before where you're trying to like work with them on some of the words that come out of their mouth sometimes, you've probably found out that you can work with them once and about 2 weeks later they're going to be back in your office. Why so? Because until you change the heart, you ain't going to change the words for very long. This is how God's made it. That's why Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the issues of life. All of your life is flowing out of your heart. Why is all your life flowing out of your heart? Because all your words are flowing out of your heart. Look at Psalms 34, verses 12 and 13. Psalms 34, 12 and 13. This is powerful. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Do you see the connection there? Our words determine the good that we see and the quality of our days. Amen. Our words determine the good that we see and the quality of our days. Check this one, Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21. I'll just read verse 21. Now I'm going to read both. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. When I read that, I'm thinking, if I want to make more money for my family, I ought to watch my words. That's what it's saying. You're going to eat food based on your words. You're going to be promoted at your job based on your words. You're going to have a blessed marriage based on your words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Woo! Our words have power to either create or destroy. Now, God's words are always constructive. The enemy's words are destructive. But God created the worlds with words. And he's made us in his image. So, that much to say that the hopometer is measuring, by measuring your words, your declarations, it's measuring your heart. When you measure someone's words, you measure their heart. If you were to take account of your words throughout a week, you would have a very good picture of your heart. Now remember, heart is not your spirit. There's no need to be condemned if your heart's off. Heart can be changed. Now your old man's dead. The old, you know, the old dead spirit from sin, it's dead. It's gone. God removed it. You were brought to life with the Spirit of Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. So you've got perfection on the inside of you. You're one-third wall-to-wall Holy Ghost, as Andrew Womack says. Love that. So what's happening, though, is your heart, namely your thinking, may or may not line up with that. And if it doesn't line up with that, your words might stink and your life might stink. Or your words might be awesome because they're lining up with the Word of God, lining up with the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you that wants to come out and touch the world. Okay, now, here's the second part. So you might be thinking, well, okay, that's good. So words will judge the heart, but that doesn't mean it judges hope, the level of hope. Let me give you a verse about how hope relates to the heart. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope's home is the heart. That's where hope is. That's why, remember, hope is part of the process of faith. That's why God says, guard your heart with all diligence, because that's your hope. That's kind of like your hope generator. Your hope generator. Your heart's your hope generator. And if your heart gets sick, it means it doesn't function like it's supposed to function. Your heart is supposed to be hopeful. If your heart loses the ability to be hopeful, loses touch with that hope process, that's what it means. Your hope's gotten deferred. Your heart's gotten sick. You won't produce the things of God in your life because your heart's sick, because your hope got deferred. Okay. Now, you will know your expectations by your declarations, right? So the hopometer, you can judge your expectations, you can judge your hope by your declarations, the things coming out of your mouth. Okay, guys, I'm going to take back over. That was a smooth transition. Now, I've put some emphasis on you, some pressure on you about your words now, right? Your declarations. So the question is, how can you increase your expectation? Okay? This is a great quote from Bill Johnson. Any statement that does not produce hope is rooted in a lie. Just so you know, this is not something I found yesterday. I've been noodling on this statement for 3 years. I've not found it to be anything but perfectly true yet. It's perfection. It's so true. Any statement that doesn't produce hope is rooted in a lie. Turn it around. Hope is produced by truth. Remember last week when Andy had that beautiful revelation he shared? He said, you know, we worry to get our expectations too high because we think God might not have time for little old me. And then he said, you're right, God doesn't have time. He exists in eternity. Woo! Man, that thing hit me. I was clapping back there. I heard multiple people clapping all over. Why did we start clapping? Why did we get excited? Why were we clapping for that? Because that revelation brought hope. Revelation knowledge, the truth from God actually releases hope in us. It increases our expectation. So if your hope is down, if you've got low hope, you'll see low declarations in your life. If you've got high hope, you'll see high declarations in your life. And if you have low hope, here's why. Low hope equals believing a lie. Again, handlebar-y. You know what I'm saying? This is meant to be, I can grab on to that. I'm saying you can measure your hope. You can measure your expectation. The question, what do you expect? Now, listen. Listen to how some people say that. Some people say, what are you expecting? But most people say, what do you expect? It's a pertinent question. That's the question the whole first half of this sermon. What are you expecting? I'm telling you how to know. Get out your hopometer. Judge your declarations. Look at the totality of what's come out of your mouth in the last week. You'll know what you're expecting. For some of us, it's great. Probably for all of us, it's great in some areas. Other areas, you might find that you're cursing your workplace. Stop it. James 3, verse 10 says blessing and cursing are coming out of the same mouth. Don't do that. So if you find that, don't do that. Now, I can guarantee, but here's the beauty of it. This is the freedom of it. If you've got that low hope in that area, which means your declarations are going to be negative, often, I can tell you why that's happening. There's nothing to be condemned about. You're believing a lie. Isn't that powerful? That means you can change. If you're believing a lie, what do you need? You need a revelation. You need a revelation. Okay, catch this. John 16. You ready? I forget I don't have my guys. Okay, John 16, verses 13 through 15. This is Jesus speaking at the end of his ministry to his disciples. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Did you just catch that? You could turn that into a declaration in your life. The Holy Spirit's in me and he's guiding me into all truth at my workplace. The Holy Spirit's in me and he's guiding me into all truth with my parenting. The Holy Spirit is in me and he's guiding me into all truth with my inventing. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. Well, I've just never gotten a prophetic word. The Holy Spirit's with me and he's going to tell me things to come. He will glorify me, this is Jesus speaking still, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. When the Holy Spirit declares something to you, that's a revelation. Revelation knowledge in your heart is a Holy Spirit declaration. When he speaks to you, that's the revelation. All right. Now, here's a sequence. There's actually a few more in this, but for simplicity, it doesn't look that simple anyway. Here's the process. Revelation. Remember I said if your hope's low, what's happening? You're believing a lie. And if you're believing a lie, what do you need? A revelation. And all the revelation that you could possibly need is available to you. He will guide you into all truth. That's a declaration for you this morning. He will guide you into all truth. And so there's no need to believe a lie because you've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to guide you into all truth. And so if your hope is low, that means your expectation's low, same way to say it. It means that you're believing a lie, so you need a revelation of God's truth. Okay? So here's the sequence. Revelation will lead to expectation or hope, and expectation leads to declaration. Okay? Now, what's declaration going to produce? Manifestation. That's what you're going for. Now, sometimes, though, we might not even be able to get to the point of having a revelation because our thoughts are all screwed up about a certain topic. I get that. You might be saying, I want to have revelation that I can declare about healing, but I'm just not there yet. Well, then find some scriptures and start meditating on the scriptures. In a way, actually, what you'd start doing is start declaring the scriptures out loud. And what'll happen is it'll start as really meditation. I mean, you think you're making declarations, but really you're just meditating on it. But at some point, the Holy Spirit, who will bring you into all truth, will start speaking those things into your heart, and you're going to be like, I got it. And when you got it, then those declarations are going to have something extra on them. And that's why when I say, When I say something like, no weapon that is formed against me will prosper, and I will condemn every tongue that rises against me in judgment, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, declares the Lord. That has power on it from me because I know it. I got it. Some point years ago, I got that one. Okay? But if you don't got that one, start saying it, and you'll get it. Okay? So it's almost like a cycle. Now, how do declarations work? Declarations are like a seed. Declarations are like a seed. They're words, aren't they? And you remember Mark 4 talks about how the word of God is like a seed. Now look at this. Mark 4, 26 through 29. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by day and rise by night, and the seeds should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Good? Here's how I'm going to tell you how a declaration works. Seeds, natural seeds, bean seeds put in the ground actually pull. They pull resources to them according to their genetic blueprint. There's a genetic blueprint in a seed that's telling it which molecules you need to take in and how you need to incorporate those molecules in order to grow into a very specific type of bean plant. So specific, you can get Kentucky Wonder, you can get Blue Lake, you can get all sorts of different types of green beans. And they're all different, and when you plant a Blue Lake green bean seed, it will produce a different type of green bean and a different type of growing pattern than a Kentucky Wonder green bean. Here's why. What's happening is there's a genetic makeup embedded in that seed. It knows what resources to pull to itself in order to grow itself into the point of being a physical plant. When you declare God's promises in your life, that promise has a genetic makeup to it, so to speak. That promise has a specific thing that it will produce. God's word is not meant to return to him void. Isaiah 55. When you speak it, the actual power, the actual genetic makeup in that promise is in it. When you plant that promise, it's going to pull heaven and earth's resources to it to bring it to pass. That's the how of a declaration works. You might think, yeah, okay, so maybe, because if you don't get this, you would never plant a seed in the ground if you didn't realize it was going to produce a real plant. You would think that, declarations are to make you positive in your thinking. That's not it. They are physical. When you speak the spiritual world, Hebrews 11:3 says, everything that was formed that we see was formed from what we don't see. The spiritual produces the physical. When you speak a declaration, you're speaking a spiritual seed that'll actually pull physical resources to it until it manifests. Just like that. Okay. I'll just share this too. Declarations, my science people are loving me. Declarations, another analogy for a declaration to help understand them, and I think this is great, they're like enzymes. Now, an enzyme, you've got 2,700 different types of enzymes in your body. I think 2,709 according to the Human Genome Project. Enzymes help chemical reactions happen in your body. Most chemical reactions happening in your body could not happen if it wasn't for an enzyme. In other words, you'd die without enzymes. The way that enzymes work, long story short, they make it far easier. It takes far less energy to get a chemical reaction to happen with an enzyme than if you didn't have an enzyme. Declarations are like enzymes. Enzymes, there's 2,700 different enzymes. Why? Because there's lots of different reactions that need to happen for your life to go right, for your body to go right. How many promises are in God's word? Thousands of promises. Why? Because there's a specificity to them. God's promises have a specificity like enzymes have a specificity. He's wanting you to put all of those promises in play in your life. Often, the way that we do the promises of God, though, is mostly reactionary. It would be akin to having enzymes. Well, it'd be akin to being in ill health, going to the doctor and saying, give me an enzyme shot. I don't got any enzymes in my body. Now that I'm in bad shape, inject me with some enzymes. Hopefully we can get this thing back in order. That's how we operate with God's promises. Look, a miracle is a good thing, but a blessing is a better thing. Operating in declarations will cause you not to just live a miraculous life, but a blessed life. There might be someone in a church at some point that's like, man, I've seen them get healed 4 times miraculously. It's amazing. And then someone else might be sitting on the other side of the thing. They've just never gotten sick. Miracles are awesome. If you need them, let's get them. But you can decide on the front end, be a proactive Christian. Be a proactive believer, one who gets to co-create with God and sculpt your life. You can decide that you're going to speak declarations according to His word and the promises that you want to see grow. And you will actually have the fruit from all of those promises, and they'll be exponential. It's an investment mindset to speak declarations, to guard your words at all times. Not just to stir up your words, stir up His promises when you need a miracle, but to take on a lifestyle of investing His word into your life. Declarations, I believe, are the key to purposeful Christian living. Purposeful. God wants to co-create with you as it relates to your walk with Him. He wants to co-create with you. He wants you to be part of sculpting what your life looks like. And declarations are how you do it. If you're afraid to have a conversation with your spouse and God, or with you and God, that says, God, what is it in this season? What is it in this season that you're wanting to do? What is it in this season that you've put on my heart, that I've got on my heart to do? He wants to have those conversations with you, because once you identify your desired results, once you identify those, then you can get into this process. You can get a revelation. You can start making declarations, and you're going to see it to come to pass. So, process of faith, declarations. You actually can measure your hope based on the declarations that you're saying. If your hope's low, it means your revelation, you need some revelation because you're believing a lie. That's easy to fix. And if you want to get serious about really seeing God's hand in your life in this blessing, this blessed life sort of way, you can start living an increasingly purposeful Christian life by making declarations. All right, that's all.
I just have one word I want to share with you guys, just to tie this all together. This, you asking people to sign up is actually, to me, directly connected to that slide right there. Yeah, if you pull it back up. So, if you don't know what your desired results are yet, come and serve. Give yourself. I felt like during worship this morning that the Lord was saying He wants people to participate more. And I'm not just tagging along with what Brett and Peter have been bringing recently. I think that my testimony is that in giving myself here, everything good in my life has come from that. The blessings have come. And whether it's here or another church or somewhere, you need to be giving. You need to be giving. If you want to live a blessed life, you need to find a place to give. And so we need people, and we need people just to bring who they are. You know, there's a lot of strength in this room. I'm encouraged to see some people stepping up this past week, and I just want to let you know that it's noticed. You know, the little steps that you're taking are noticed, and they're appreciated by the leadership of the church. And it, what it does is it builds momentum, and it brings excitement about you having more of a role here. And I promise you, my testimony is not special. You will be blessed when you give yourself to the body of Christ. You're giving yourself to Him, and you will find joy, and you'll just look back, and you'll just find yourself in a different place than you were before, and you won't even realize how you got there, really. It'll just be, you'll be grinding away. I mean, sometimes it'll feel like grinding, but you'll look back, and you'll say, you'll hear somebody talking, like Peter giving a message, and you'll be like, oh, wait a second. I'm experiencing that now. Instead of being over here being like, oh, I want that. Oh, what is he talking about? I kind of understand that, but I don't, I'm telling you, the bridge to understanding and living this life is in giving. So please sign up if you want to give. There's plenty of ways to do that. And also appreciate those of you who already have. Amen.